Welcome, everyone, to episode 13 of the Bon Bon Show. Today is September 23rd, 2025, and I am one of your hosts, Aaron. Today, we have a very moving topic for you, one that highlights the highs, the lows, and everything in between when it comes to transferring your life to a new location in Japan.
Hello, Aaron and listeners. This is Kirk. Welcome to today's episode of the Bon Bon Show. I recently moved from Hiroshima to Tokyo, my second major move in Japan. So we thought talking about the experience and giving a few tips on the process would be a good idea to share here. So here we are. I hope this moving in Japan episode of the Bon Bon Show will be helpful.
And moving.
Oh my God. Guys, you don't want to see the show notes. It's crazy.
I'll try not to say the word moving too much more in this episode. Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
You know what? I want to start by saying, you know, congrats to Kirk for, you know, everything that he's accomplished to date. I'll let him share, but it's big life change for Kirk. And, you know, finishing school and the JET program before that and, you know, getting to Japan and all of that stuff. So I just want to say good job to Kirk for sticking to the plan, even though it's deviated, I'm sure, from, you know, over the years. But congrats to, you know, getting your master's degree and finding success in Hiroshima and in your program. And, you know, I myself and I'm sure all of our listeners and everyone out there wishes you nothing but the best of luck in your new, your new endeavors and new life starting in Tokyo. So I just wanted to say that to you just before we get started here. And we're looking forward to, you know, seeing how the next chapter unfolds for you.
Hey, 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 that wasn't in the show notes. What are you doing? thank you, buddy. Aaron and I are not just like podcast hosts, you know, we're really good friends in real life and we keep abreast of each other's doings and happenings. And, you know, Aaron was there when I was making the JET program to Hiroshima move and throughout the entire process. So thank you so much, buddy. It means a lot. It was hard, but, you know, this comfort causes growth, I guess. And I'm at the end of that chapter now, and it was a wonderful experience when I look back on it. So thank you, buddy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing about what moving in Japan is like, just because I've lived in different parts of Japan myself, but I've always just moved to that location in Japan, and then I've always just found myself moving back to Canada and then moving back to a new location in Japan. So I have the experience of moving in and out of the country, which is its own probably topic in and of itself, but moving within Japan, which is what we're going to talk about today, is something that I know very little about. So I'm looking forward to you being senpai today and teaching me all about what the experience is like and how what you've learned and how we can share some of those things from your experience with others who might be, you know, going through that same situation, you know, in their lives in the future.
Yep. Moving, as you said, moving out of Japan and back in is a very different process. We both have experience with that as well, but like moving within Japan is very different, as you said. So it's like, yeah, last week you shared your ramen knowledge with me and others. So yeah, I like these type of like experience episodes where we just talk about stuff we like or experiences we've had. I think that's one of the things that makes the Bon Bon Show special, and I hope the listeners think that too.
Yes, all right. I agree.
So yeah, I have some notes here that I'll be going through, but feel free to pop in at any time with questions, Aaron-kun. So yeah, moving in any country, within any country at any time is quite difficult. I guess Japan is no different. Like, it has a little bit more on, I feel, the bureaucracy side of things that can be a bit frustrating and time consuming, and you have to follow things in a particular order most times, but yeah, moving in any country is hard. I wanted to say that. And of course, the longer you live in a place, the more things you acquire. I personally thought that I was living a very simple life during my first 8 years in Japan. But this recent move has taught me differently, where I felt like I threw away like so many things, like 75% of my possessions. I didn't even realize I had acquired so much stuff over the years. But the real headache was, all the processes and the expenses involved with moving. So this episode, just wanted to quickly recap some of the different steps that could be useful, to others who might find themselves moving in Japan soon or in the future. And if you guys have any questions, feel free to send us an email at our newly minted email address at hello@bonbonshow.com, or if you're watching on YouTube, feel free to leave a comment.
Yes, all questions, comments, feedback are welcome, and we will reply to you personally, either Kirk or I, or both of us, perhaps. We'll send you a
Ha
comment or an email back. So I have a
ha
question on your throwing away of possessions. I know you
Sure.
said you accumulated a lot of stuff. Were you finding that you were actually throwing stuff away, or were you able to like recycle it or sell some of it or give it away to? Since you were moving away from university, were there other students that you were able to give some of this stuff to? I'm just trying to
Yes.
understand the throwing away piece and seeing what was, what you actually did there.
Some of it was I feel like, as you said, there were the opportunity for me to give away. I should have said some of my stuff, like my computer desk, my computer chair, like different small appliances, kettles, stuff like that that I had acquired while in Hiroshima, could be passed on to incoming students or students who came in recently who may have not had bought those things yet. I at Hiroshima University, the program that I was in is very international, and I feel like 70% of the people who join the program join from overseas and have very little
Oh, okay.
experience living in Japan. And usually the first 6 months they're here, they're kind of well taken care of, but then after that initial 6 months of settling in, they then move into their own apartments, which they might need to get stuff. They still get help, but like kettles
Right.
and desks, and depending on which type of apartment you choose and the price range, blah blah blah, you can get almost everything you would need for your time studying here in Japan, or you can get nothing but a bunk bed and a room.
Okay.
Yeah, so I actually went for the cheaper option, so I had nothing in my room, but I say bunk bed, but it felt more like a hospital bed. But I appreciate it for keeping me comfy over the last 2 years, and I did buy some stuff to make it more comfortable. But yeah, some of it I gave away, some of it I couldn't give away, or the time was kind of running out, so I had
Yeah.
to throw away some stuff. Some stuff was also broken or old, or
Yeah.
I had kind of brought that over from when I was living in Japan. So it's like it was just time for some of this stuff to be thrown away. But yeah, I'll talk about more about recycling and garbage stuff later on. So
Okay, that sounds good.
I have a few bullet points. I'll go through them one by one. Let me see. One, two, three, four, five, six bullet points now. The first one I wanted to talk about was the taxes and city hall, town hall, ward office stuff. So in Japan, yeah, depending on what area you live in, you could be going to a town hall like I did when I was in Shimane, a city hall like I did in Hiroshima, or a ward office for the bigger cities like Osaka and Tokyo, that I'm gonna be doing now in Tokyo. So a lot of your, what I say, your health insurance, your residence tax, your pension and different things are tied to your address or your that is and then your city, ward, town that you live in. So it's important for you to go into said city hall, town hall, ward office to kind of figure out the taxes that you need to pay or have paid, or get kind of an update on your tax situation. Because when you move to the new area that you live and go to the office there, you're gonna have to kind of get what I say, an understanding of what you paid at the previous place that you lived in, because remember, you're not moving out of Japan. So you're gonna be issued
Right.
new health insurance, you know what I mean? Your pension payments might be different. There's a whole lot of background paperwork that honestly I don't really fully understand, but especially depending on if you're gonna stay in Japan long term, you don't want to miss up this step. I know people whose permanent residence applications and different things have kind of been delayed or denied because they didn't really follow these steps correctly. And 5, 6 years later, when they're applying for permanent residency and stuff, they found that, hey, they didn't pay, I don't know, 500 yen at a office that at in a city that they lived in 4 or 5 years ago, and that caused their application to be bounced. So yeah, you want to pay attention to this stuff. So in my case, because I was a student, it was a little bit simpler, thankfully. I just kind of paid what I needed to pay, got kind of like a recalculation of how much I need to pay up to my move out date, and then you can pay that at the convenience store. So I did that, and there's something I feel like I'm. Oh yes, you also need to sign up a paper. It's kind of like your moving out notice to tell the ward that from this particular day you will no longer be living in the town city ward, and they should stop like registering or having you as a resident in said ward. So that's probably one of the most important documents that you need to fill out. Basically, it's like a moving out notice. I think that the basic translation is. So don't forget that. So yeah, I
For
think.
for these forms that you were filling out, is this something you were able to do on your own? Did they have like an English version for these forms, or everything's in Japanese? And if you needed help, you went to the school or you found a friend that could like walk you through some of these things? Because I know you had mentioned, some of the students are moving to Japan for the first time. Their language ability might be, they're just might be like beginner at Japanese. So when they move from, Hiroshima, and they're like, going elsewhere in Japan, and they might struggle with this. Is there an official option that the town or the city or the ward will like provide these people, or is it up to the individual to kind of find their own assistance if they need it?
I actually found out very late in my time in Hiroshima that there is like a number you can call to kind of have someone come with you on a particular date, but you have to schedule it like a week in advance, depending on how busy things are. But if
Oh,
you
okay.
go on the day, there's like a particular window with English speakers, Chinese speakers, Tagalog, depending on which country you're from. But usually, to be honest, that line is very long because
Right,
you
yeah.
know what I mean? Especially when it's like moving out season and moving in season, which usually it's like March, February, March, April, May is like a busy period when people move in Japan. But in recent times, being a university town and all, like August, September is also quite busy. If you are in a university area where sometimes classes start in October, so people will be moving and in and out around this time. So fortunately, in my time living in Hiroshima, I had gone to the town, the city office a couple times. So I actually had a contact that I that spoke English that I took a photo of their ID like a year ago. So every time I went to the city hall, I kind of asked for that person and just kind of took my
Okay, perfect.
number and waited. But yeah, just but again, there have been times when I've gone there and it is a multi-hour affair. And then there's been times when I've gone there and it's like 10 minutes in and out. So just keep that in mind. If you can get help from a friend to, who speaks Japanese to accompany you, or some kind of colleague or someone to help you in any way, that will definitely make it easier. Because there are different kind of desks. There's a different desk for the moving out form. There's a different desk for the taxi stuff. There's a different desk for the health insurance stuff, a different desk for updating your residence card. It's a whole thing. But if I can do it and I have a low tolerance for air quotes processes, I feel like anyone can. But
Okay, yeah, thanks for that. I think, yeah, for those that are, I guess, wondering if they should book something, I guess it's an option. But yeah, just make note that if you're booking in like a high moving season, your wait times for that assistance might be longer, or you might be better off, like Kirk had mentioned, finding a friend or someone close to you to kind of avoid that waiting game for like their, I guess, official assistance and just going with someone that you can, that you know already. So. But yeah, it's good to know that they have options available for those that, you know, might not know someone or might not have that close connection to someone in the area. So that's cool that they provide that assistance for people.
And it's just quickly, I remember being on the JET program, like all of this was just kind of taken care of for us. I just felt like I just showed up, I signed my name like 15 times, and everything was done in 10 minutes. But when you are like moving on your own, or you're like a student or someone doing your own thing post JET or moving to Japan on your own, or you don't have that kind of assistance, it's night and day between the assistance you get on some kind of official program like JET versus you being a private resident doing your own thing in Japan. It was a bit of a shock for me, to be honest, because I was so used to being taken care of for these types of stuff. But
Yeah,
yeah.
difficult but good experience nonetheless, and now you have that knowledge under your belt.
Okay, so the second part quickly about the city ward office stuff is also to remember to go to the ward office or city office of the place that you are moving in to do the same, well, similar thing, where you have to do like a moving in notice to that new town, city, area that you are moving into. And then they will also have you fill in some forms for your new health insurance, new pension payments, like all that stuff. Either you do most of it on the same day, or sometimes they'll send you the documents in the mail for you to fill out later, or you go back to the office on another day to fill in that type of information. And that's how you get your new health insurance card, get the final update on your pension payments, report where you live, get your residence card updated, and all that stuff. If you have a driver's license as well, for like I do in Japan, then like a quick side note, you also need to go to like the nearest police headquarters for your area to kind of get your address on your driver's license also updated, because they send the notice for your renewal of your driver's license to the new address and not the old one that you had on your driver's license. So yeah, new address, you need to update stuff.
That makes sense. The ward office, or when you're moving into the new town or city, when you do all of that stuff, is there an option for them to, like, I know, in terms of like emergency situations, if there's like an earthquake or landslides or heavy rains, like during flood season or whatever, is that that same time when you would like register for like an official, like I know some cities and towns have like an official email list or something like that when they push notifications to individuals living in that town or city. Was there anything that you signed up for related to emergencies there, or is that something that sits outside of that?
It depends. My old city in Hiroshima didn't have that, but here in Tokyo, I didn't register for it yet, but I actually saw the area that you can go to get kind of what I say, it's like they give you like a map of the areas that you should evacuate to, depending on your area, and kind of like tips about like packing like a emergency bag and stuff like that. I haven't looked into it yet, but that was definitely an option. I didn't go through the process personally, but usually if they don't do it there themselves, they will give you information about all that like emergency evacuation services stuff. Definitely. So yeah.
Yeah, I think that's one thing to think about, especially where I'm from, and like if, depending on where you're moving from, if you're not used to like those types of natural emergencies like earthquakes and tsunamis and flooding,
Flash
it's something
flooding.
you might not think
Yeah.
about. Yeah, but when you're in Japan, it's that stuff can happen. So getting on those emergency lists and getting those information is can be very valuable minutes or hours or whatever,
Yep.
to help you prepare and stay safe in those types of situations.
Yeah, I usually try to also find the like the evacuation places near where I live to make sure that we can find our way to those places if necessary. So yeah,
Yeah, good call.
good call. All right, second bullet point on my list is recycling and garbage, which is huge in Japan.
Yes.
To be honest, this was probably my most frustrating part of the process. But there were fun points. Different cities, different towns have different rules for garbage disposal. Some places you just put everything into the same bag and it's fine. Some places you have five, six different types of bags that you have to separate your garbage in. So please pay attention to these types of things. Where I was in Hiroshima, they had two different colored bags that I would throw my regular garbage out in. But when it comes to throwing out larger items or electronic items or what they call it, like dangerous items and stuff, it's a whole different process. So,
Yes.
the regular garbage was fine. I could cycle through that. But like I had like a old rice cooker, like an iron, like pots and pans and utensils and stuff that I would no longer be using or were old or I didn't need. So I had to there I went to like this huge recycling center and I thought that would have been fun. I actually rented a K truck for the first time in Japan. That was also very fun. Some people come to
Cool.
Japan, sorry, side note, I can't help myself. Some people come to Japan to drive like Subarus and Supras and NSXs. I was so freaking excited because I drove a K truck for the first time. I had a whole
Hey,
K
that's
truck
fun.
to myself for like 6 hours, and oh my God, it was fun.
Was
Driving
it
one of those.
was it a manual or automatic?
It was actually the automatic because I wanted to drive one before, but all the ones that I like my friends would have, or like when I lived in Shimane and stuff, were all manual. So I didn't want to
Yeah.
like, even though I could drive it, it takes me like a few minutes once I go back to manual to kind of figure it out. So it's like, it's fine. But like, I
Right.
got this automatic K truck, and even though I was frustrated going to these different recycling spots, it was so fun to be driving a K truck in the middle of the countryside. So yeah, one more dream of my time in Japan, I can tick that box. Drove a K truck.
That's wicked.
Yeah, so we went to this huge recycling center where I thought this is a brand new, was built in the last 5 years recycling center. Obviously, anything I take there, they'd be able to manage. That was not the case. So there were certain things I could drop off, but there are certain things I had to take to another recycling center on the opposite side of the city in the top of a mountain. So one hilarious example was, for example, my pots and pans, they were metal, but then the cover of the pots and pans were glass with metal, so I could drop off the metal pots, but I couldn't drop off the lids of those pots at this particular recycling center. I just could not believe it at all. And I could drop off certain appliances. Like I think I could drop off, I don't remember now, but the point is I had to my rice cooker and my iron I had to take to another recycling center. So it was hilarious because I had this huge K truck filled with stuff and like pieces of one thing I could drop off, but pieces of the other thing I couldn't. But it was fine. So I learned a lot about the recycling process in Japan. I drove into these huge buildings that, even though they're like garbage recycling centers, it was so neat, so tidy, so organized. You know what I mean? Like, that's one
Yeah.
thing, good thing about Japan, yo. Like, that recycling center was so organized, so neat. It was just, I just could not believe that There is these dozens of cars lined up to drop off their garbage, but the place itself was just so well run that is that was actually awesome. So yeah, beware that you have to separate your garbage depending on the type of garbage, like for example a mattress versus a rice cooker versus pots and pans, forks, knives, cardboard, old shoes, old plugs, old electronics, what do you call it? Battery banks, chargers, like all of these things go in different boxes, possibly different recycling centers. So just be aware of that. I feel like for a lot of people, they run out of time towards the end of the moving process and it becomes overwhelming. So the recycling frustrations was might get to them as it almost did to me. But luckily I was kind of preparing for this stuff weeks in advance. So in the end I managed to do it. And honestly, that was one of my biggest achievements in this whole moving thing was making sure that I got all the recycling stuff in the right boxes in the right areas, etc. So yeah,
So
any
you'd recommend
questions about
people
that?
trying to tackle this piece a little bit earlier on and not do it all at the end, kind of do it, take it bite-sized chunks, weeks, like you said, weeks in advance, and do this type 1 week and another type the other week. So by the time you get to moving day, you're not frantically trying to figure this stuff out.
I had all my stuff organized and ready to go. So even though when I did get to the recycling center, I had to put different things in different boxes or go to another one, the fact that they were already organized and separated and put in their correct color bags and sorted the how they wanted it to be sorted, it made it far less frustrating. Because even though I had to physically go to another area, I wasn't rustling through bags to separate stuff and all that stuff. Everything was already lined up and ready to go. Just all I waited on was just the K truck rental date, and I could go. So yeah, stay on top of that. And I was just one person, a university student who lived in for 2 years with not many items. Imagine if it's a family or multiple people, you can just imagine with toys and different things that would make, a whole big difference. Trust me, it's crazy. Like even like a glass bottle with like a metal cover is very different from a PET bottle or a glass bottle with a plastic cover. It's down to the minute details. Trust me. Yeah. So yeah, that is point two. Next point is like moving company. In Japan, another good thing about Japan is they have a lot of options depending on your budget and how much work you want to do when it comes to moving. There are companies that will come to your house and literally pack everything in your house down into boxes and stuff, put it into the truck, move it to your new place and unpack everything toward as you instruct, and then there are other companies that would just send you boxes and you have to pack the stuff yourself and so on and so forth. I used a company called Sumali Pocket, which is this is not sponsored in any way, but I had a very good experience with them. Basically, they're like a storage company slash moving company in one. Many people kind of use them to store their like winter clothes and stuff so that it doesn't take up space throughout the other times of the year or things that you might not use often, type of stuff. So basically they sent me some boxes, I packed my stuff into said boxes, and then they will store those boxes for me. And then whenever I want something from any of those boxes, I can go on the app and say, hey, send me this box with my, I don't know, my tech stuff, or send me this box with my winter clothes. And you can take pictures of the stuff that you put into the boxes so you can know which box has what item. So that's kind of what I did. I have like a box of my figures, a box of my tech stuff, a box of books, and two boxes of clothes, I feel. That's so I had like five of these boxes, and it was very easy to request the boxes, tell them to come and pick it up on a particular date, etc. So high five to Somali
Nice.
Pocket, really cool service. And once I have moved and settled into maybe a bigger place later on, which is the plan, I can then request those boxes out of storage to my new address and all will be well. So yeah, all my
That's
life
awesome.
fitted into two suitcases, one
Wow.
backpack, and five boxes. I'm very happy.
Just question on the boxes, because I know you had said you'd taken pictures of things within the boxes so they could pick the right box. Just they'll only send you the box back, right? Like if you're like, I need this winter jacket out of box number three. They wouldn't just open box number three and then send you just the winter jacket, or would they do something like that? It's
No, they'll send you the box, the entire
okay.
box.
Yeah, that makes the most sense. Yeah. Okay.
And they have like specialized boxes for like books and stuff. So like if you have a lot of books and you want to store them, you can, have a box book, and that's a different price from the regular boxes and stuff. It's a very cool service. Definitely check it out, guys. So yeah, another quick topic on the fourth on my bullet list is the post office. Please go to the post office to forward your mail from your old address to your new address. You can do it up to a year. So like your bills, like different important mail that you would get at your old address, you don't want to move, and then, oh my God, I've moved and I haven't updated my address, and you have to go back halfway across Japan to get that done. So that's something you can also do long in advance, where you just go in maybe a couple of weeks before you move and say, as from this date onwards, please forward all my mail to this address, which is going to be my new address. And it can be 1 week, 1 month, 6 months, or up to a year of you forwarding your mail. So that is a very important step that you guys should not forget when moving within Japan. And it was very easy to do. Just one form, explain to the post office worker, and it within 5 minutes you should have gotten it done. And you get like a little barcode number thingy that you can check on the status of your application, like how much longer will your mail be forwarded, and there's like a whole login system for managing that mail forwarding service as well, which is cool. I ended up
Is
forwarding my
there
mail for a year. Yeah, go ahead.
was there is it like is there a cost to that? And if so, is it like broken down by like you pay per week or per month, and it
There
does it
is
get
no
cheaper the longer you
cost.
do it, or
No
no cost?
cost,
Oh,
no
that's
cost.
great.
So you just fill out the
Fantastic.
form and they will automatically forward your mail for you at no extra cost via the Post Office Japan Post.
I love Japan Post. What
Oh
a
my God, I do too.
service.
I love them so much because I worked at the post office in Jamaica. But anyway, before we digress into another topic, Japan Post is awesome. Let's end it there. So speaking about post office and addresses, please remember this is what 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth point to update your addresses on your important services. So your bank, your credit card, your phone, any other service that you would use that would require your address, please don't forget to update those addresses so that your, let's say, new location is registered. Again, in Japan, where you live kind of affects so many things, you know what I mean? So please don't forget to update your new address to all those services. And another thing, another quick one is the utilities. Your electricity, water, internet, gas. That was everything, right? The major, your phone, major utilities. So some of the companies that I called when I was moving would be like, we'll just take the final payment out of your regular payment process thingy, because mine was just debited from my account. So it depends on what you have set
Okay.
up. I have like on a separate account for all these things, while some utility companies will send you the bill if you want, and then you go to the company or wherever to pay it every month. I just chose the direct debit option. So depending on how you pay your bills, please remember that you have, that however many days or weeks within the billing cycle that you're moving out, that you have to pay that you owe, so to speak. So it's like you've paid up to, for example, September 10th in my case, when I'm moving out on September 17th. There's like a week that I didn't pay for, so you have to figure that out with your utility company. My electricity and water company were like, okay, we'll just take the last payment out on this particular date, ensure there's money in your account. While my gas company were like, we're gonna send someone to your house on this day at this time to collect the final payment. So again, depending on how
Oh.
you pay, what is the process of each company, please check that out. Another cool thing, I know I'm digressing a lot, is I find that Japan has so many different power, internet, gas phone
Yeah.
companies. That is so freaking cool. Like from Jamaica, we have one electricity company, one power company, two phone companies, and we get like gas delivered in the cylinder thingies. But here in Japan, like there's like three or four different power companies I had the option to choose from. And same with the gas companies and stuff. I think maybe there was just one water company, but I'm just surprised that a service like power, you can have different companies. But I'm like, isn't it the same power line, the same everything? But
Is
yeah.
it? I
So
have a
yeah.
question for the canceling of the utilities. Was there, like, I guess it's probably a few questions, but when you signed up initially, did you, was it like a month-to-month contract, or did you know, like, oh, I'm going to be here for 2 years, so I signed up for a 2-year contract? Or I was just wondering if there was like a cancellation fee when you had to move, or like when you were moving, they like charged you an extra fee because, oh, now you're canceling if you did sign up for a contract. Like, was there any extra money you had to pay because you were canceling? Or was it just, nope, you're just, okay, whatever you owed us up until this day, that's all you owe us. And then, we'll just cancel after that. There's no other hidden fees. I was just kind of curious about that.
In my experience, there was no canceling fees. I think I paid like a very small fee in the beginning when I was starting the contract, but I'm guessing it was just month to month or forever long you use the service. But
Okay.
there's no contract canceling fee or anything like that. Towards the end, you just told them which day you were moving out, and I actually called over the phone and explained what is happening, and they did what they needed to do. And I'm also proud of that because I did all of that in Japanese.
Yeah, boy.
So, I was just like, these are some of the things you dread when you're in Japan, and you have to definitely speak in Japanese on these topics. But I'm happy to say that I managed to not embarrass myself too much, and I managed to do the Japanese thing to get the utilities sorted. And I am also very happy that there were no hiccups where that is concerned. And again, you have to be careful because I know of friends and I've heard of people who you just move out and you've not cut your water, electricity, internet, etc. And you are continuously billed, or you don't know that you're being billed, or another tenant
Oh.
actually moves into the apartment after you and just continues to use the air quotes free internet, water, and
Oh.
electricity. So it's not the responsibility of the company that you are renting from to do any of that stuff. So,
Right.
yeah, please make sure you cancel because you are the one in a contract with the utility company, not your landlord, not your rental company, you. So, cancel all that stuff before you move.
Yeah,
Yeah,
good
I
work on
think those
the
are.
good win on the Japanese, doing all that in
Yes.
Japanese, man. That's awesome. That's a success story of when you live in Japan, you can do that on your own. Like, that's a good accomplishment.
Yes. Yeah, I think that was everything I wanted to cover. Was there anything I missed, or do you have any closing questions?
Yeah, the other piece that came to mind would be, I guess when you're leaving your rental home or apartment, what are some of
Ah,
the
good catch.
things you have to think about there? Like, is there an inspection you have to set up, a cleaning, or like, I know there's key money when you first move into a new place that you got to think about, but is there any other types of payments, or like, you do get a deposit back at all? Just kind of, wondering what that looks like when you're actually leaving your old home, your old
Good,
rental
good,
home.
good, good, good. Nice. I missed that one. Good catch. See, guys, this is why he's the super co-host on the Bonbon Show. I'm just here for the ride. But yeah, the apartment stuff was actually a bit easier because I had an apartment through my university co-op, I think they call it co-op. So my building was basically 75% students, or there was a few like government workers and stuff. But basically, as it relates to my apartment, I just had to get it back in the state to when I first entered it. So
Right.
they
Okay.
so I actually took a video when I moved in 2+ years ago of the
Oh,
apartment, how it
smart.
state it was in before I unpacked or did anything. Again, this is from previous experiences renting apartments in Japan. I just wanted to make sure that I was safe in case anyone said I did any type of damage or this wasn't the case when I moved in. So I took a video, and I'd advise people to do that as well when they move, of the state that the place that is in the first day you move in. Take a video of everything: plugs, the floor, the ceiling, the AC, the toilets, the kitchen, everything. So the only requirement was that I just put it back in the same state. So
Okay.
I cleaned the bleep out of that apartment from the ceiling to floor. Fortunately, I usually keep things tidy and stuff, so it wasn't really difficult. I feel like I actually gave them back in a better state than I got it. As it relates to payments, I did pay like a deposit, not so much key money, but again, it will be different
Okay.
depending on how you're renting, who you're renting from, that type of stuff. So in my case, as a university student, it was a different system versus maybe a private residence. I can also speak about private residence from, friends or other experiences where sometimes you pay the key money, but it or the deposit, but you don't get it back. In my case, I paid a deposit of Niman yen, 20,000 yen, but I got it back after the inspection in cash on the day of the
Oh,
inspection.
nice.
But then there are other cases, again, depending on your contract, where you don't get back anything at all, even after you've left. And the security deposit is really key money. Or, you know what I
Okay,
mean?
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then if you've done any damage or, affected the place negatively in any way, they'll give you like a bill of, like, okay, you broke this window, or this wall is dirtier than you left it, or you know what I mean? These different things, and they'll give you the prices, and then you get whatever is left over after the inspection. In my case, there was no damage, no charges, no anything, so I got back my full deposit, but that's not always the case. Yeah.
Get you for if any any future home I guess homeowners want to rent up to Kirk, he's a perfect tenant. He won't do any damage. He returns it back to you in even better condition than received. So stamp of
Yeah.
approval for Kirk.
I may not destroy your apartment, but I may scream at 3 a.m. in the morning while fighting monsters or streaming online. I may have been a little noisy to my neighbors. I apologize, but that's what happens when you're playing video games at 3 a.m. and streaming and stuff.
Yeah, I had nothing to do with that. I was not involved at all, right?
You definitely had a lot to do with that. Yeah.
Oopsies.
But yeah, if there's nothing else, this has been an awesome episode. I really had fun recording this episode. Thank you for your awesome questions, Eron-kun. Anything you
Thank
want to
you,
say before we
Senpai.
close out?
Just want to say, yeah, it's a lot of information. I think I know every situation is going to be a little bit different too, and kind of Kirk alluded to that as well, depending on what type of arrangement you had move that you moved into and what that looks like when you're moving out of that place and then into another place. This is, I think, gives us a very good, well-rounded viewpoint of what that an average experience looks like. But if you ever find yourself in a spot where you're moving into Japan and you have some unique questions that are specific to your situation that you just want to throw our way to see, get, a second opinion, feel free to leave a comment or send us an email. We'll always be willing to chat you through something. And if we can't answer it, we can hopefully try to point you in the right direction or find some references for you to, get some better advice if we don't know ourselves. But yeah, thanks, Kirk, for all your information, and wish you all the best in Tokyo and settling into your new home, and looking forward to just hearing more about your experience in Tokyo.
Oh.
Thanks again for a great podcast, buddy.
Yeah. Thank you too, buddy. Let us continue to make some awesome podcasts. Remember, the email address is hello@bonbonshow.com. We're also available on all the popular podcast platforms. We are on Spotify, we're on YouTube, we're on Apple, iTunes, we're on Amazon, and a couple other places. So yeah. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Aaron. Until next time, this has been episode 13 of The Bonbon Show. Bye bye.
またね。